I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon. Here at the Big 550 KTRS, I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort. And Ian and Dan are here with me, each chipping in like 8 or 9% as well. So,
right.
We've got you covered. We've got you covered. No, today, we've got you covered to about 28%, which is really more than most Americans are doing at a quarter after three on a Friday afternoon.
You can knock me out of it. So knock it down to about 13%.
I had an odd experience today. Before the show, I went to, I probably shouldn't say, it doesn't matter. I went over to the bread company here at Westport Plaza, and I ordered a sandwich to go. And while they were making it, I ran into the men's room. And I walk in there, and I hear two male voices having a conversation. Couldn't quite hear everything that they were saying.
Were they in a stall together?
Don't get ahead of me here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
First of all, I was a little bit taken aback at the fact that I was hearing two guys having a conversation, because all guys know that when you're in the men's room, what's the rule, Dan?
No talking. Yes.
Apparently all guys do not know this rule, though. Dan had it happen here to him the other day, didn't you?
Yes.
But he wasn't talking to you?
No.
Well, that's
someone was on the phone.
That's what happened today. I go in there and I hear these two voices. I look around. There's only one stall in there. And there's apparently somebody in there. And I hear there's...
He's got the speakerphone on?
Yes.
The speakerphone on.
So I don't know if he's talking to Siri or Google or whatever kind of phone he is.
Oh.
But also, it's not in an American accent. Now, I knew that with...
Which one, the person on the other end or the person in the stall?
Again, I wasn't really paying close attention because...
Well, it's hard to... Yeah, you weren't looking at them, so you don't know.
Exactly. I don't know how the ventriloquism act is working. Who's the guy and who's the dummy? I don't know. Which one's Jeff Dunham and which one's Peanut? I don't know. Who's Waylon Flowers and who's Madam? I don't know. I'm on the other side of the door. I'm interested in one thing and one thing only. Taking care of business and getting out. Get my sandwich, come to work. That's
I have to tell you something. That broccoli cheese soup, you really hit me hard.
So maybe he's setting something up for his calendar or asking a question of the voice recognition software or whatever it was, but it wasn't with an American accent. And I know that on Siri, you can change the voice that you're talking to. For instance, you can have a male or female voice answer you because it's a computer. It's, you know, it's just ones and zeros. They programmed it in so that the voice recognition works for different languages. But even for English, you can have United States English, United Kingdom English, Australia English. My wife likes big, strong Australian men. So her iPhone talks to her like a big, strong Australian man. Mm. And you can also have Canadian English. Now, I know people from Canada. Dan, you're a hockey player. You know people from Canada.
Yeah.
It's a boot, four kilometers.
Except for a boot and a, it's pretty much the same language between us and them.
A boot, you go outside there, hey, what's going on?
Oh,
there,
I wonder, man? Yeah, do they switch everything to metric then?
Well,
if you ask, what's the distance to, well, you know, be what? A boot to 4 kilometers?
Hold on a second, let me ask. Siri, what's the weather in St. Louis today?
Here's the forecast for St. Louis for today.
And then it just shows me the forecast, doesn't tell me what it is. But if I switch it to Canadian, maybe I can ask How? Wait a second. Hold on, Siri. I can't think of a question, Siri. How many kilometers is? It said you can't. How many kilometers is 10 miles?
Let me check that. 10 miles converts to about 16.1 kilometers.
Okay.
Converts.
Now, if that
you used to wear those Converts.
Yes, I did. You know what? I can't come up with a good example for you here. This is really something I should have worked out ahead of the show.
but the
point of the story is I'm in there and the guy's having a conversation. And just as I finish washing my hands, he comes out of there and says, oh, hey, how you doing? And he starts talking to me. And so he's not only violating the no talking rule with his phone, he's now violating with me. And I'm fine. Thanks. And I'm out of there. I just get my sandwich and I come over there. Why don't all men know the rule?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not like in the ladies' room where you purposely go in a group.
No.
Where you're going because you have to have a conversation, usually about the idiot guys you're having dinner with. I understand that. But guys don't do that and shouldn't be doing it with their phone. Now, the other thing I want to talk about here at the top of the show is the World Cup, which this whole World Cup fever hype that America is supposedly in the midst of is... it's amazing to witness, especially because 90% of us don't know what's going on. If you told me that we're going to watch the biggest sporting event in the world and we could lose and still move on to the next round, people would go, oh, you mean like the baseball? No, like the football? No, like the basketball? We don't have anything that goes like that.
Yeah.
But we did yesterday. And so now we go on to the USA. Not we. I'm not part of the team. The USA goes on to play against Belgium on Tuesday afternoon. And so people will be excited about that or pretending to be excited about that, which is really what I think it is. And you said something on this show last Friday, Ian, that was so right on the money. I thought about it, and I actually wrote a column about it on my website, which is this is like the Olympics. We don't care about curling 3 years and 10 months of the year.
Right.
We don't care about skiing or skating or any of the things that are there. And it's the same thing with the World Cup. Do you remember when the U.S. women's national team won the Women's World Championship in 1999.
Yes.
Mia Hamm and Brandi Chastain hit that.
Pulled her jersey off.
Yeah, after she hit that penalty kick. Everybody was like, oh, yeah, this is really going to revitalize it. We'll probably have professional women's soccer in the U.S. now. Now, I do give them credit because a lot of girls did start playing soccer after that. My daughter was 5 at the time. She was fascinated with it, interested in it. She played when she was 6, 7, 8 years old. And that was fine. But we didn't get professional women's soccer out of it, just like we're not going to get professional men's soccer on a big scale in this country. I know certain parts of the country, they have teams that do well. Drew Carey's team in Seattle does very, very well.
Kansas City has a team. Kansas City loves soccer, so yeah, they do pretty well up there, over there.
But it's not taking over the country. It's not going to knock off the Big Four. And by the way, of the Big Four, hockey, and I'm sorry, the Blues, hockey isn't even anywhere close to the other three, baseball, football, and basketball, when it comes to attendance, when it comes to TV ratings, certainly.
And that bums me out.
I know. As a hockey player, I understand that because you're into that sport. But the fact of the matter is that poker gets better ratings on television than the NHL.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, there's a new poker show on CBS Sportsnet on Sunday night. A friend of mine has put together called Poker Night in America. It's going to be on 9 o'clock St. Louis time on Sunday night. 2 half-hour episodes a week. Just a little plug for a buddy of mine. But the thing that got me yesterday and the last couple of days was the people who were in bars jumping up and down and shouting out, I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win. Now, keep in mind that word believe right there. Because yesterday morning, the head coach of the USA men's national team, Jurgen Klinsmann, posted a thing online, which was a note that you should give to your boss.
Right.
And the note said, please excuse blank from work on Thursday, June 26th, yesterday. I understand that this absence may reduce the productivity of your workplace, but I can assure you that it is for an important cause. The U.S. men's national team has a critical World Cup game versus Germany, and we will need the full support of the nation if we're going to advance to the next round. By the way, you should act like a good leader and take the day off as well. Go USA. Now, okay, that's cute and that's clever.
Funny social media thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I got some media attention. I completely understand that. But I want to go back to, we will need the full support of the nation. Now, you needed our support to go to the next round. No, you needed Portugal to not get five goals. That's what you needed. The support of the nation had nothing to do with what happened yesterday, just like I believe that we will win has no actual impact on the outcome of the game.
Yeah, right.
It's not like we're trying to keep Tinkerbell alive and you're not clapping. I mean, that's exactly the same sort of thing. I believe we're going to win. Well, you know what? Belief isn't the same thing.
Did Tinkerbell die?
No, because we all clapped, except for you, Mr. I want Tinkerbell to die.
Yeah.
Spoil sport. We have to get over this notion that, ooh, if I have it in my head, I can cause things to happen in the world. You don't have telekinetic powers.
I can will it to happen.
No, you can't. If you could, you would have won the lottery every Wednesday and every Saturday.
Right.
It doesn't quite work that way. We need your support. I believe we're going to win, and we didn't, but I'm still happy because I don't understand how soccer works. USA! USA! Now, last week on the show, I was talking about how I don't see soccer becoming that big a sport, particularly because of the stoppage time thing and because we don't understand it. And then I got an email from a listener by the name of Tim, who said, Paul, the popularity of sports in America is directly related to our attention span, which is about the same length as dragonflies, is what Tim says. He says, look at the other sports that we follow. In baseball, you need to pay attention 3 to 4 seconds at a time. Yeah, there's strategy, but for the most part, there are two people we need to watch, the pitcher and the batter. And then if the ball is hit, you only need to watch the ball. And when that's caught, you have one guy to watch who throws to the cutoff guy, one guy who throws to the plate, maybe two guys. No biggie. We can handle that. Look at football. 13 to 15 seconds per play. One guy to watch. The ball is hiked, takes 3 steps, he throws, tackle, play over, drink beer. Then you talk, then you wait for the huddle to break, and then you hike, rinse, and repeat. There is strategy, but it goes out the window with every hike of the ball. What about basketball? One thing to watch, the ball. What about NASCAR? Well, the only thing you need to watch is your driver once a lap. Vroom, wait 30 seconds. Vroom, wait 30 seconds. Vroom, wait 30 seconds. No real attention span. There's no real strategy. Go fast, change tires, pack some fuel in, go fast. A lot of weight's put on the pole sitter, but only 20% of the time does the pole sitter win. How about hockey? Hockey has 12 players with 10 of them moving all at the same time. And here's why hockey doesn't do as well as the other sports. Most of us can't deal with that. It's too busy. They move a lot and then for a long time, like 2 minutes before there's a whistle. And they have to drop the puck and then it starts all over again for them to move for 2 more minutes. You know what? He's kind of starting to make a point here. I understand this. And he says, now what about soccer? There are 22 guys out there. 20 of them are all moving all the time and all over the place. The field is too big for us. Stoppage time isn't that difficult to figure out, but we've been conditioned to respond to a buzzer or a whistle, and they rarely have those in soccer. Look at road racing like Formula One or Le Mans or 24 Hours at Daytona. Too many cars, too much strategy involved, it's too fast. Some people put this down to IQ level. I put it down to attention span. Think about it. Watch a game with this in mind, and then watch the people around you watching it. They'll pay attention for a few seconds, and then they stop. He's exactly right. It's exactly how we watch things. Although, I wrote back to Tim, and I said, well, here's the exception, and I can only speak about the one sport that I really care about, which is the NFL. And that is, when you're watching the NFL, yeah, there may only be 10 seconds of action and then 30 seconds before the next thing, but that 30 seconds gives us as Americans a chance to do the one thing that we do better than anybody else in the world, which is express our opinions about what didn't happen and what should happen.
Yes.
That's what we're, no one is better than that, than America. This is why football has not taken off in other countries.
And to watch 47 replays in that 30 seconds.
Exactly. Not only that, we have guys on TV who were there to tell us what happened.
Oh,
and then
here?
We can argue about what they just said. It's the exact same thing. You watch the World Cup. Those two guys who are doing the announcing, they're not really getting into a lot of strategy. There's a lot of pausing and waiting for things to happen. And there's nobody at home. none of us, not Americans anyway, sitting at home and watching the World Cup and saying, that was a great play, the way they set that up. We don't know what a play is in soccer or any of that stuff.
Yeah, the majority of the talk from the game the other day, it was towards the end, it was all about, well, if Ghana scores again, then the U.S. is on the outs then. So yeah. It was like 10, 15 minutes of talk before Portugal went up 2-1.
How about the discussion of whether the Americans knew the score the Portugal-Ghana game?
Yes.
That went on for 9 minutes.
Yes.
They had a debate about whether anybody on the sidelines has a smartphone.
And then they show people in the crowd go, well, they have smartphones. They're holding up their hands with the score.
Tim, you made some great points. I'm really glad you wrote that in. I believe that we will win. Now, your belief has nothing to do with it. It's 329 at the Big 550 KTRS.
This is Larry Connors. Get ready for the most engaging nighttime radio talk show starting Monday at 9. Hot button issues, but also stories about the best of America. Book it. Larry Connors, USA, on KTRS, the Big 550.
Meet me.
Oh, we've had some heavy-duty rain coming through the area. See if it's had an effect on traffic. Here's Tim Weiland.
Yeah, it really has, Dan, and it's spotty in areas, like up in North County. It's raining pretty hard. So you've got eastbound 270 that's jamming up now from Missouri Bottom through Highway 170. We had a stall that was on westbound at Lindbergh, and traffic just a little bit slow there. Westbound 370, you're slow from Highway 270 to the Missouri River, and then things open up after that. Eastbound 40 now, you're slowing from, it looks like, Union Station to the Poplar Street Bridge. On westbound 40, things are jamming up now. A little bit west of Boone's Crossing to the Boone Bridge, and that's because they just opened up that left lane that had been down all day for road work. And then you're looking at eastbound 40 slowing now from Clarkson up through 141. Just a little bit heavy from Mason through Highway 270. This report brought to you by Subway. Tuna lovers, rejoice at Subway. Right now, you can enjoy this month's featured footlong with everything you love. Tuna is the $6 footlong special this June only. Subway, eat fresh. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Men over 40, have you tried the GNC award-winning breakthrough designed to invigorate your body and increase your libido? If you're experiencing weaker drive, general sluggishness, and decreased performance, you need Nugenix. Nugenix is a powerful man-boosting breakthrough. For 2013, it won GNC's Innovative Product of the Year and was also named the number one selling men's vitality product. For a limited time, you can enjoy a complimentary bottle by calling 1-800-900-1198. Nugenix uses a clinically researched key ingredient to invigorate a man's body and increase his libido. Enjoy more passion, stronger drive, improved performance. Be more of the man you want to be in the gym and in the bedroom. Tired of your body not performing like you'd like it to? Experience the award-winning breakthrough, Nugenix. Feel like the best man you can be by calling for your complimentary bottle. Nugenix is available at GNC and Vitamin Shop. But to get your complimentary bottle, you must call now. 1-800-900-1198. That's 1-800-900-1198.
If an accident puts you in the hospital, your paychecks may stop coming, but all your monthly bills, who's going to put them on hold? If you're not working and not getting paid, you could end up owing thousands of dollars. Accidents do happen all the time. That's why Physicians Mutual Insurance Company offers accident coverage to help you get the cash you need if an accident puts you in the hospital. See how easy it is to get help paying the bills with a free instant quote. 1-800-600-3960. Nobody thinks they're going to end up in the hospital because of a serious accident, but people do every day with no way to pay their bills. You don't want that to happen to you and your family, do you? Of course not. So take a minute and see just how inexpensive this accident coverage is. Seriously, you might be surprised at how little it can cost. Call now for your free instant quote, 1-800-600-3960. That's 1-800-600-3960.
My name is Don, and a lot of stuff happens to me. My wife even calls me Disaster Don once in a while, but that's not fair. I'm just a little unlucky. I mean, who hasn't been to the hospital for a giraffe bite? Ah! And engines fall out of cars all the time, right? But since that stuff happened, I needed a lot of cash at once. So I called Cash Call at 855-590-CASH.
At Cash Call, we can lend you a big chunk of money so you can handle all your unexpected expenses at one time. You can borrow $2,600 to $25,000 by tomorrow with no collateral and make monthly payments or pay it back all at once.
Yeah, Cash Call lent me enough money for everything. And it... Uh-oh. Is that lightning? Again?
If you need a lot of cash all at once, make the Cash Call at 855-590-CASH. Because dealing with the unexpected doesn't make you a disaster. It makes you just like everyone else.
Subject to credit approval. Additional documentation required. Loans will be made pursuant to Missouri Consumer Credit Loan License 367-03-3042.
Here's to getting greasy, to getting elbow deep under the hood, to leaving a little skin in the engine. Here's to doing what you love. At Advance Auto Parts, get all you need for your next job when you pick up 5 quarts of Castrol GT X High Mileage Motor Oil and a Purelator Classic Oil Filter for only $25.99. Plus, get a $7 advance gift card by mail. Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back to the garage.
Mail-in rebate, void where prohibited. See store for details.
It's food.
It's food.
It's drinks.
It's drinks.
It's the World Cup. It's Estancia Mexican Restaurant in Chesterfield. Now your home for World Cup matches. Estancia Mexican Restaurant is the perfect place to take it all in. Estancia is known for their southwestern ambiance, their south-of-the-border dishes, and now a great place to take in the World Cup matches. That's Estancia Mexican Restaurant on Chesterfield Airport Road. For more, go to EstanciaSTL.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris, along with Ian and Dan, and later on, Bill Cleveland, Mike Evans, Colin Jeffrey with some movie reviews, including the new Transformers movie, which does not star Shia LaBeouf. Did you hear about what he did in New York City last night?
No. I did.
He was at a performance of Cabaret on Broadway, and before the show, a few hours before the show, he was seen arguing with and chasing a homeless man over a hat. According to an eyewitness, Shia LaBeouf kept shouting, "It's me, Shia," and chasing the guy. And then at the show, police say security guards asked LaBeouf to leave the Studio 54 theater, but he would not. He used obscene language. He physically messed with employees and made threats to security guards and police officers. So he was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct, criminal trespass, and harassment. And then, I guess, made bail and got out of jail today. I think we may be looking at a mental illness thing here.
Yeah.
It's me, Shia, yelling at a homeless guy.
Over
the
a hat.
The homeless guy wouldn't even know who he was.
Most people wouldn't know who he was. That's the thing.
Yeah.
If you walk down your average street in America and Shia LaBeouf said, "It's me, Shia LaBeouf," people go, "Who?"
Wait a minute.
I think I've heard of you, but I don't know exactly why.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk about the new Transformers movie.
Anyway.
Sorry, Bernice. We'll get to that later on. I also want to talk about this new Jenny Slate comedy, Obvious Child. We'll do that next hour. Before we get to anything else, Ian found this story during the break that kind of slipped through the cracks of this show when it came out, like the beginning of the month, right?
Yes, the first week of June.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you tell the story.
All right. This story escaped me until I saw they covered it on the show The Soup, which is on the E! Network.
With Joel McHale.
Joel McHale. Yeah. They cover different TV shows, and sometimes every once in a while a weird news story will pop up.
Wasn't that what the one that Greg Kinnear started?
Yes.
That was Talk Soup?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Once in a while they cover weird news stories that pop up, and this one they happened to cover. This happened, the first week of June. And Chris Hayes of Fox 2, I think, uncovered this whole story. He was getting a tip that on this a certain website that somebody sent him to, they had footage of these restrooms, hidden cameras in these restrooms. And the person that saw these videos noticed a lot of the people at the same uniform shirt on. So I assume it tied to something local where they knew it was in St. Louis then. It must have been a local business.
And the cameras were placed over the toilet.
The air vents above above the toilets, yes. And so...
So there'd be video of people doing...
Right.
Yeah.
And so Chris Hayes then went to the Chesterfield police and let them know what was going on. Because I'm assuming it was a business around that area. And so they did an investigation and arrested one of their own police officers.
I had not heard this story at all.
Yes.
It's a Chesterfield cop who was Chuck Berrying the bathroom.
Chuck Berrying men's restrooms.
That he didn't. Oh, men's restrooms.
Men's restrooms, yes. And so the guy has been arrested. And
wow.
Yeah.
You know what? So, I did hear about this story.
And so Chris Hayes, they actually found one of the men that was on the footage, on some camera. Of this footage. Who was on the pot, yes. And so I have a little clip here of an interview that Chris Hayes had with this gentleman.
Okay. Our investigation started on the East Coast, where a man said he clicked on a banner that took him to this porn site. He noticed many victims wearing company shirts. That's how we found Rob Chaney.
When I saw myself pooping, I was just like, you got to be kidding me.
We asked Chaney for a list of places where he used the bathroom.
I had to think, because, you know, you don't like document everywhere you went to the restroom at. So it's just very strange. It took me a while to kind of pinpoint where it was.
Fox 2 checked his list of restrooms, comparing the video to each bathroom.
Pause right there. Pause right there.
Map.
Fox 2, that's a phrase I guarantee you Chris has never said in his journalism career. Fox 2 checked his list of restrooms.
Oh, and it was great, too, on the video. You see they took different photos of the actual from where the camera would be to see if the floor
does
tiles
it match?
Matched
it
and the drains in the bottom of the floor match.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you know what? That's good forensic work.
Absolutely. Yeah, they did a good job. And so,
but by the way, hold on a second. How'd you like to be Chris's cameraman that day? All right, we're going out and doing this. You know,
really?
He's uncovered some pretty good stories in his years here in town. And that's the one where his producer or his cameraman says, I'm sorry, you want me to do what?
Could you turn the fan on before we go in there?
Climb up on top of there and shoot down.
Yeah.
From isn't this what the cop got in trouble for?
Go in there and get the hubcap with the key on it.
All right, go ahead.
Started on the East Coast, where video to each bathroom until we found a perfect match from the floor tiles to the drain by the toilet here at the Mobile on the Run in Chesterfield. Chaney just moved here. Welcome to St. Louis.
3 weeks and I'm a poop can pretty much, so. 3 weeks and everybody's seen me poop. That's terrible.
Well, you gotta at least he laughed at it. Yeah. What are you gonna do?
On poop cam.
Yeah, I mean he's got a sense of humor about the thing. But
some people are really upset though because they found out later, you know, their children were in that bathroom and
yes.
things like that. So
I mean when you go into the bathroom and close the door, you expect to have complete privacy. You don't expect that someday you're gonna show up on some website that some sicko has had the cops set up the website?
Yes. They traced it. Yeah, they traced the website back to this police officer.
But that's not the whole story, is it?
No, because they also found out that he had been posting ads on Craigslist, soliciting straight men to come to his house. And there's a certain kind of...
you can say glory hole.
You can say that? Okay.
You can't explain what it is, but you can say it.
All right. So that situation was going on inside the house. And these unsuspecting men were coming, not knowing who was on the other side of the wall.
Yes.
Thinking it was a woman. And that's what they were brought there for.
Yes.
And it turned out to be this police officer, yeah, this male police officer.
You know, let's just pause a moment and reflect on what kind of person was answering that Craigslist ad and going and doing that anonymous.
You can't feel too sorry for him.
No, well, exactly.
No.
Like, really? You didn't know where you were going or who was on the other side of it, and then you were surprised when it turned out to be a surprise?
They had to be going, well, whatever.
Okay. I answered this ad, and then I went in.
I wonder if that person ever, if any of those people ever call the cops and make that one, because I think that might be one where you pick up your phone and you go, 9-1, never mind.
No. I'm going to let that one slide.
That's like a drug dealer saying, they stole my drugs.
Exactly. Well, you know what? I'll tell you right now, if you want to get into knuckleheads in the news on this show, that's a good way.
Yeah.
We've had a few of those through the years. So the cop was charged with that, too.
Yes. And so the latest story I saw, he was being held on bond. I don't know if I'm sure it hasn't gone to the courts yet.
No, it hasn't. Well, that leads perfectly into a couple of stories that I read in the last 48 hours that just kind of made me think, what the hell is wrong with people? Which has been an ongoing segment on my show for years. What the hell is wrong with people? Did you hear the story this week of the woman who claimed that her disfigured daughter, who she had taken to KFC, that the KFC employees had refused to serve her because her daughter had gotten bitten on the face by their dog?
Three dogs.
I thought it was just one pit bull.
Three out of the 10 that they had at the house attacked this little girl.
Yeah. So the kid was in bad shape, but mom said, you know, I took her to the KFC, and the people at KFC wouldn't serve her. We were asked to leave because her facial scarring scared other customers. And so that story came out over a month ago, and people all over the country, out of the kindness of their hearts, sent this family donations to the tune of $135,000. And then we find out a couple of days ago, that's not why they were kicked out. They were never kicked out. In fact, KFC checked the surveillance footage from every one of their stores in that area. No sign of the woman or the kid ever going into a KFC.
Yeah, I heard the first KFC they reported to going to had been closed down for a while. And then the niece or whoever corrected and said, no, it wasn't that one.
It wasn't on Main Street. It was over on Jackson Street or whatever it was.
And they couldn't find a receipt with the sweet tea and mashed potatoes on the same order, which they claim they ordered. And
what is it in your mind that says, okay, my kid is really badly hurt? How can we use that to get people to give us money?
Well, I heard, I think Josh came down before the show and was talking to us off the air about they had set up a funding website before this all happened, and apparently they only got a couple $100s, so maybe they thought, well, if we come up with...
But imagine thinking about perverting the harm that's already happened to your child because of your stupid dogs that I'm sure you're not taking care of. Or maybe you are taking care of them better than your daughter. I think that's probably more likely the case. But to think then, well, what if we make up the story about taking her someplace and, well, people will take pity on us and they'll send us checks and we'll have a website set up and a bank account and all that. And then people, you can't blame people for wanting to try to be nice, but you would think we've heard so many of these stories. We just had the story 3 weeks ago with a woman in St. Charles who faked the cancer.
Right.
And people sent them six figures worth. I know people want to do good things for other people. That's one of the nice things about being a human being is when you hear about somebody in trouble, if you can, not everybody has to, but if you can, you can try to help them out. But before you donate to any of these, just because you heard the story somewhere, whether it's on this radio station or another one or a website or a TV newscast or whatever it is, before you go to the bother of finding out how do I help them out, where do I send the money, all that sort of stuff, maybe remember the KFC story. Maybe remember the cancer story. Now, I know in saying that, there are going to be people who are going to get mad at me because there are really people who are seriously in need who aren't trying to con you. I completely understand that. But perhaps just backing off a little bit and checking things out, just like when you donate to a charity. How many times a year do we have to see somebody like Chris Hayes or somebody else who's an investigative reporter, Brian Ross at ABC? We have a big expose about this big charity that actually doesn't do anything with your money. They've raised $16.4 million, and $16.3 of it went to the family that has the charity. How many times do you have to see that before you go, you know what, maybe I can Google this one and look them up and find out and see what the story is? That's the sort of thing that just makes me sick. And then the other story today that falls into my category of what the hell is wrong with people is this guy in Seattle named Zachary Miller, and he's 26 years old. Apparently, he was dating this woman for a while, and she dumped him. And he did not take well to that because he is a serial abuser. And so she was trying to get out of the relationship, and she finally moved out, and she was planning on going to Las Vegas. And he called Southwest Airlines and told them that his girlfriend was on the plane, and she had a bomb, and she was going to blow it up. And so, of course, you know, Southwest empties out the plane, and they interview the woman, and everybody on board, they get screened, their baggage gets screened, and then the flight is eventually allowed to proceed. And the cops then go back to check up on him. And he had called Southwest just before 6 o'clock in the morning and then hung up. And then the police called him back on that number, which turns out to be his grandmother's home phone, because that's where he's living now, that they don't live together anymore. So he answers the phone when the police call back, but when they say it's the police, he immediately hangs up. And then a minute later, he calls back again, and the sergeant who answers it says, yes, we're looking into this. Do you know this woman? And he hangs up again. Well, now the police go, all right, well, you know what? Let's just drive over there and check this guy out. And they get him and they find him. And it turns out that not only did he try to pull this off, but he had been stalking this woman, sending her text messages like, every day you'll be unsafe. Or just because you're in another state doesn't mean I can't get to you. You have no idea what you're in for. If the pigs come after me because of you, you will live the rest of your life in fear. 22 messages he had sent her like this, used Facebook to gather up information on her, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And by the way, has a history of threatening to hurt people going back to his teenage years when he was accused of intimidating a teacher. Have been arrested several times, has outstanding warrants. And now, you know, this woman scared for the rest of her life that this sicko is going to show up someday. So they have him, and they've charged him on things, and they did not give him bail because you let this guy out of jail, and who knows what he's going to do. But it falls right into that category of what the hell is wrong with people. Which leads me now to our morality quiz for the day. Some researchers at Duke University did a study of over 1,500 people, and they asked them all sorts of questions. Nothing about stalking or anything serious like that. But they asked, how much money would it take to get you to? For instance, how much money would it take to get you to throw a rotten tomato at a political leader that you do not like? 1 in 5 said $10,000. That's 20%. Said $10,000, I would do it. 6% said $100,000. Another 10% said, oh, it's got to be $1 million. 13% said they do it for free.
Yeah, oh. Somebody you don't like.
That's 1 in 7, 1 in 8 people in this country would do that for free. And then here's the other part that was so shocking about that. 20% of the respondents said for the right price, they would throw out a box of election ballots to help their candidate win. 20%? That seems really high to me.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, then they asked, how about this? And I'll ask you guys this before I tell you the result. Would you, if you needed a blood transfusion, take a pint of disease-free compatible blood if you knew that it came from a convicted child molester?
If I needed that to stay alive?
You need the blood. You need a blood transfusion. We have blood here, but we want you to know it came from a guy who's really, really bad. Convicted child molester.
I would.
You take that blood?
I would.
Sure. Drain it all.
I would.
Does it say they have to stop taking blood out of him?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know that he's alive or dead in this scenario. But I have no. It's not the blood that made him into a child molester. I wouldn't have a problem with that. Almost half of the people said no, but a quarter of the people said yeah. They would take that, and you wouldn't have to pay him at all. Here's another question. Would you wear a sign on your back? How much would it take? And the numbers again are 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, or 1 million. How much would it take for you to wear a sign on your back for a month that says in large letters, I am an idiot?
I do that now. And I didn't know it was there for like 3 weeks.
But. Dan was always the kick me guy in high school. No, seriously. I mean, that's the question they asked.
I am an idiot?
It's going to say it on the back. You got to wear it every day for a month. That sign, $1,000, $10,000, $100,000, $1 million.
Somebody's going to pay me $1 million for me to walk around with a sign.
That's why I think the survey is flawed.
That says I'm an idiot. They're an idiot for giving me the $1 million for doing that.
Would you do it for $100,000?
Oh, yeah.
Or you do it for 10K?
I don't know. Yeah, probably.
10K a month?
No.
Oh,
10K.
Just once?
Yeah.
Just 10,000?
Well, it is 10K a month, but it's only 1 month.
Oh.
Hmm.
Working into the contract that we could you do this again, month to month?
Yeah.
Sure thing.
I think you'd also have to work into the contract that you can't wear a jacket or a sweater over the shirt. Mm. Hey, I've got the shirt on. That was what the deal was. Yes, but we can't see it is the point.
I do not have a problem with what other people think.
No.
All right, how about this one? How much, again, with those figures, 10,000, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, a million, how much would it take for you to sign a statement declaring, I hereby sell my soul after my death to whoever has this piece of paper?
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
I'll do it for $10.
Yeah.
and I'll do it for as many people as they want. I got no problem with that. Once I'm dead, I'm dead. You can have it. Go ahead. In the survey, 6% said $1 million. 3% said they would do it for free. Everybody else was somewhere in the middle. Let's see. Oh, there were a couple of things that were pretty much unanimous, but not. How much would it take for you to stick a pin in the palm of a child you do not know? I'm not even going to ask you to answer that because it's a ridiculous question. Who's going to stick a pin into the palm of a kid? I'll tell you who. 10% of the people said they would do it for the right amount of money.
Really?
90% said not for any amount of money. Here's another one. How much would it take for you to kick a dog hard in the head? And I'll tell you right now, 87% said they would never do that. 13% of the people said there's an amount of money that would make me kick a dog in the head really hard. Now, I can only think of one circumstance in which I'm going to kick any animal in the head, and that is if that animal is doing me or my family harm.
Yeah.
You know what? I see, you know, if my daughter was really little and the dog was going to bite her in the face, we're not going to think of the KFC's thing. I'm getting that dog off my kid.
Exactly.
But 13% said, well, yeah, there's a number. If you paid me, I would do it.
That's scary.
That is scary. And that's
not surprising to me, though.
Not?
No.
Oh, there are a lot of people that hate animals, period. They just hate dogs and they hate cats, and they would do anything bad to them.
But I think
you get stories about people that do just nasty, nasty things to cats.
I bet you would get close to that number if it was a human instead of a dog. That wouldn't surprise me.
I bet you the number of people who wouldn't do it are higher for the dog than for a human being.
Oh, wait, for the human, I have a couple of people.
Well, no, you don't get to pick.
I would pay.
I had one boss a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that I would have kicked him in the head while he was alive, but I still have a pact with the guy who was on that radio show with me that when we hear that guy has died,
mm-hmm.
we know where he lives in Florida. We are both flying there immediately to dance on his grave.
To make sure.
That's it.
Make sure he's dead.
So I will kick the headstone of that guy. That's as far as I would go. And leave his dog out of it. It's 356 at the Big 550.
Meet me.
All right. Tim Weiland is not kicking anyone. Do you kick anyone, Tim? Would you do any of this?
You can't buy me for anything.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I do have to say, when you were talking about that, and I grew up with a guy as we were teenagers and began to drive, you know, start driving. If he saw a cat walking on the road, he purposely would swerve to hit it.
There are people that hate cats. They hate cats.
Well,
you know what?
Cats.
I'm not a pet lover myself. I've never had a pet except for when my daughter had those guinea pigs.
Yeah.
I used to think of them as urine producers. That's all they were. but she had guinea pigs. Those are the only pets I've ever had in my life. And I don't particularly like, because of my allergies, to be around dogs and cats. And that's not anything against them. And the world shouldn't hate me because I have allergies. But I'm not particularly an animal lover. My daughter happens to be. She's working on a farm this summer. Okay, fine. But the idea of purposely hurting an animal, that's just sick. There's no other word to describe it.
And you know, when you're 17 years old and stuff, a lot of weird stuff happens. But I could never understand that, because I personally like cats. But he would go out of his way. He would cross over the yellow line if he saw one, try to hit it.
Yeah.
You know, luckily he's not living in.
You know, I have to take something back. I just realized I have killed thousands of animals in my life, if you include ants and spiders. I told the story of that summer that my kitchen was invaded by ants, and we could not figure out where they were coming from, and I used up more caulk than Home Depot has ever had.
Those are bugs.
Yeah, those are insects. Those, I don't think they are.
All right, how are the roads?
Okay, we've got kind of a mess out there in spots. Boy, if you're traveling on eastbound 270, you've got jam up now from Highway 370 all the way through New Florissant. You've got an accident on southbound 270 ramp to eastbound Page. Another one on westbound 40 before Highway 270. Now, that was blocking the left lane, but they have moved it off to the right shoulder. But traffic is now backed up to Lindbergh. On the eastbound 70 ramp to northbound 270, a crash that has that ramp partially blocked. Northbound 170. You'll stop and go from Highway 70 up to 270. On southbound 270, you're just now getting heavy between Manchester and Doherty Ferry. And downtown on northbound 55 after Park, you've got an accident. It's on the right shoulder, but traffic in the right lane's backed up to 44. Eastbound 44, you are slow from Jefferson. This report brought to you by Subway. Get to Subway for the new Flatizza. Like the classic pepperoni on crispy flatbread topped with marinara, melty mozzarella, and made the way you say. Or go for a veggie Flatizza. Try one or both today. Subway, eat fresh. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Outdoor banners.
Detailing your one-of-a-kind product offering.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you grow your business.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
And your customer base.
Design services, presentations, shipping.
So you go to the one place that has it all and prints it right.
Staples.
Right now, custom banners and posters start at just $6.49. Offer valid on pickup or delivery, ends $6.29. Details in-store or online at staples.com/springcopy. Staples. Make more happen.
Stages St. Louis presents They're Playing Our Song. The Jazzy Score will have you singing along and leave you wanting more. Now playing through June 29th. For tickets, stagesstlewis.org.
Tuna lovers rejoice at Subway. Right now, you can enjoy this month's feature footlong with everything you love. Tuna is the $6 footlong special this June only. Subway, eat fresh.
Everybody's been talking about Larry Connors. Now it's his turn.
Larry Connors USA starts Monday at 9 p.m. on the Big 550 KTRS St. Louis.